Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. You know, I wasn't sure what I was going to talk about today because there's so much going on. I couldn't even tell my producer what the topic was. So I think I'm probably going to end up just winging it like I normally do and, you know, speaking my mind. There's a lot of heat and light going on with this immigration issue, but I want to bring this back to the health side of this. I don't know if people have been reading about this, but there's been an outbreak of tuberculosis in the country. There's been all sorts of exotic tropical diseases encountered. And my fear is that we don't even know half of what's going on. This is what's being reported by the CDC. But technically, it could be anything. It could be Ebola. It could be Zika. It could be anything else going on. And they're not really telling us. And the whole issue with the shootout in Orlando, it's a tragedy that people were killed. I think that, you know, put that aside for a second, and let's go back to how did this person end up being interviewed by the FBI twice, have a history of some sort of violence or medical or emotional instability, and end up working for a security company. It's not the fact that he had a gun. It's the fact that he was cleared, that he was vetted, quote unquote, by the FBI. And I have a problem with that. And then all of the onslaught of it's the Second Amendment, Second Amendment. It's not the Second Amendment. It's the fact that people are here doing things, slipping through the cracks. And in some instances, they've been evaluated, but they're just let go. This is the issue that I have. We have people coming into the country. We don't know where they end up. Then let's go back to the shooter for a minute. His job was to transport immigrants into the country for the company that he worked for. So they pick up people, various at the border, whatever. They transport them into the country and then release them. No vetting, no physical examination, nothing. That's what we don't have a handle on. And where do they go? And what diseases are they carrying? And what's their mindset? I've spoken about it before, the pathway through the southern border, through Mexico, this train, this gauntlet that women and children have to run, where they've taken the given women birth control because they know they're going to be raped on the way up to our country. They have them warehoused in, it used to be, I don't know where they are now, military bases that have been decommissioned, all sorts of crowded camps where disease will run rampant. You have people who are under stress, underfed, maybe even dehydrated. You have one person who has a communicable disease, and it's going to run like wildfire through the camp. TB is no joke. You know, they have multiple resistant versions of this, that there is no medication that's going to cure you. You have these children who potentially have medical communicable diseases going into schools with children who they tell you to vaccinate, but there's no vaccination against tuberculosis. I'm not a problem with immigration, but this is an onslaught, and it makes everybody a victim. The people trying to escape wherever they are from the South or wherever country they're coming from, and the American citizens who are sitting ducks, frankly, for whatever comes down the pipe. And it's not a race issue. It's not a sex issue. It's a humanitarian issue. You can't just let people just be abused on the way up, warehouse them, pay off people to put them in their homes. You're getting $7,000 per month for a family of three if you take them into your home. Who stands to gain from this situation? The people who are acting like the foster care? I mean, what about the children who are unaccompanied? Where do they end up? Who's vetting the families that they're staying with? They're basically, anonymous. Who knows where they go? And they don't even know because they're dropping people off in the middle of cities and just opening the door and letting them run. This potentially could be a huge human trafficking issue. Child sex trade, women's sex trade. That's underlying and underpinning all of this. While those on the side of, we should let everybody in and you're a bad person if you don't think that they should come in. Actually, I think the people who are saying, let's slow it down and let's think about it and let's do it orderly, are the ones who actually give a darn about these people. It's not about winning an election. It's not about, you know, filling up the enrollment of Obamacare, because that's the next thing that I've heard, that they want to open the Affordable Care Act to illegal immigrants. Why? Just so you can get the numbers up from 8 million, so you can say that it's successful? I mean, there is no rhyme or reason. There's no rule of law. It's ridiculous. And it's fomenting dissension in our country. I don't know if that's the end game, to gin up everybody so they hate everybody and everybody goes after everybody and then we end up with martial law. I don't know. Is that the end game?
Dr. George, you presented a question, and I want to answer your question with a question.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the fact that how in the world did this guy get away with it? He was interviewed twice by the FBI. I personally can't throw rocks now totally at the FBI in that. The answer to the question is, whether you like Donald Trump or not, the answer to the question, it has to stop on the front end. If you think the only way this guy had done nothing wrong, he was interviewed twice, but had done nothing wrong. So they can't do anything about it other than they could have, for the last year, 2 years, however long, watched him 24/7. The FBI can't do that. We haven't got enough manpower, enough money to watch what they've got, supposedly 900 active cases.
Well, now there's 10,000.
You know, so realistically, you can't watch somebody 24/7. And that would be the only way they could have stopped him. When they saw him going to the gun store to buy the guns and, you know, on and on.
Well, he had a license.
And he had a license. So, you know. So, my point being is, if that's the question, how do you stop somebody like that, or how do you stop any of them? Right now, our problem is we can't stop them, in my opinion. We can stop the new ones, and that means we've got to slam the door, and that's the only way. And then, you know, a lot of people will disagree with me, but then you have, after you've vetted them and you've checked them up one side and down the other, you have the trickle approach, let the good ones in and keep the bad ones out, and that's the only way. And our borders, like you said, whether they're coming from the north or coming from the south, we've got to close our borders. And if we can send a man to the moon, we can figure out how to guard our borders. And if somebody's coming, I'm sorry, this sounds terrible, but we're at the point, in my opinion, somebody's coming across that border illegally, they're to be shot. You know, if we have to put drones into action and you start, unfortunately, killing a few, they're breaking the law. What's going to happen if you and I, or you and I, were to cross illegally into Mexico?
You'd be arrested. And yeah, if you cross legally and they ask for your papers and you don't have them, you're arrested. They have their southern border locked tight. They're not letting people in, right? And then when they did, it was on a train to travel directly to the United States. So they're hypocrites, because if it's so awesome that everybody should be able to go wherever they want in the world, then why don't they let that happen in Mexico? I mean, it's just hypocrisy. Ultimately, even if you want to open your borders, it behooves you to make sure you're not letting in people who are or encouraging a system that people are abused, assaulted, made mentally, you know.
Ask
you're
Germany
not the same.
How they like all the immigrants.
Sweden. Ask Europe. They don't put this on TV. Sweden is the rape capital of Europe. You know, they're asking people to ask their daughters not to wear skirts around the migrant camps because they're not safe. What kind of system is that? I mean, if I were to emigrate to any place and I wanted to go to that country, I'd want to adopt their norms. I want to speak their language. I like their culture. I want to join it. It's not that I move into someone else's country, make a ring around my neighborhood, and it's a no-go zone, or I get to transport my entire lifestyle and, you know, ethical and moral mentality into your country, and you'd better like it. And better yet, you need to change your laws so you follow me. This is classic. The London mayor just made a I don't know if it's a law or a dictum, I know, a dictum that you cannot have, or no more suggestive advertising for women. You know, they have to basically cover up because of, quote, body shaming. It's not body shaming, it's Sharia. It's their mentality. Women should be modest. This is what you get. So ultimately, and this is a clash of civilization and culture, if you really want to be honest about it and not politically correct. There's a lot of things that people just need to start paying attention to on their own. This is not a value statement. We think differently. Christian mindset is not the same as an Islamic mindset. It's not. And being nice and turning the cheek and being inclusive and accepting to someone who has this ideology, you're weak and you are to be taken advantage of. It's not they're going to leave you alone. They're going to come after you harder because you are easy pickings. That's an issue. And as long as people are muzzled, that they're silenced because they have an opinion and they're raising legitimate questions, as long as we allow people to shut us up, this is going to go further. That mayor in London is, you know, he's going to, I'm sure, I can feel it, that he's going to put down more or bring out more or encourage more laws and changes in their system that's going to make it more inclusive, or I should say, less offensive. Everybody should coddle the whatever minority group is in, or perceived minority group. They're all from England. They're all, you know, citizens of the UK. And instead of making it we're all together, it's this group versus that group versus the other group. That's divide and conquer strategy supreme. While they make the laws more stringent, while your freedom of speech gets totally negated. And this is my other issue, Dave. When they talk about hate speech on the internet, it only goes one way. Okay. This guy his father is preaching kill homosexuals. His imam was preaching that. Nobody says a thing. Did they shut down the mosque? As a matter of fact, I read that the State Department stopped the investigation into that mosque when Hillary Clinton was running it. So it's one of those stand down things. Because why? Political correctness? Or are you really trying to gin up so much, you know, hate, undercurrent, resentment that the society breaks apart? Order out of chaos. That's what they want. And, you know, you never let a good tragedy go to waste. Everybody's talking about the Second Amendment. But Rolling Stone talks about you should repeal the Second Amendment. Really. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, it's hard to have this conversation or to have a show that is so, I'm sure, gins up a lot of emotion. But we need to really be a little bit more, take the emotion out of this, bring reason into this. I just don't, at this point, everything that they're doing to us, you know, TSA and going through all of these security checks, making us censor what we say on the internet, otherwise our accounts will be, you know, removed. Having freedom of speech in political rallies be snuffed out by people fomenting violence, you know, perpetrating violence. Nothing happens to them, and the cops stand down. And I just see this as, it's not by accident, okay? And it's not right. This is what our country's based on. Second Amendment, First Amendment, all the amendments, for God's sake. you know, freedom to not be searched unnecessarily. Fourth Amendment, that's gone. Every time you walk into the airport and someone's searching you with that machine or hand search, you didn't do anything wrong. This person who had a gun had more rights than a person going through security check at the airport. I just had to give up fingerprints because I want to speed my process through the airport. So now I did TSA pre-check and global entry. But you have to give a background check, fingerprints. I'm a citizen. I don't commit crimes. But you're guilty until proven innocent. Unless you fall into a category of people who are supposed victims, then you get more rights than somebody who's not. What happened to it's equal. We should all be protected. You know, me being a Christian or an American citizen shouldn't put me behind the eight ball. I have to prove I'm not a sexist, racist, Islamophobe, whatever you want to, phobe you want to call it. I'm guilty until proven innocent. And if I speak up for my rights, then somehow I'm not allowed to. But nobody seems to think that that's bizarre. So we've bent over backwards now to make people feel comfortable. If you don't love yourself, I can't make you love yourself. Me existing does not take away your rights or your ability to love yourself. I mean, that has to come from within, and you can't legislate that, right? You can't make bathrooms change because a small group of people are different. Then you know what? Make individual bathrooms for everybody. Why does it have to be communal? You have one bathroom, one stall, big lines, but individual. This doesn't even make sense to try to... It's changing a culture by force, by dictum. You can't change behavior. All you do is create resentment. That doesn't make sense to me. Why would you want, as a mother or father, to have your child go into a bathroom where there are grown adults from the opposite sex in there? And it has nothing to do with being transsexual or not. There are predators who will take advantage of the situation. The stories that I've read are just phenomenal. Some guy decides, with a beard, you know, fully male, you know, he's not dressed as a woman or anything. He just decided he felt like a woman that day, and he's allowed to go into the dressing room at, I think, with Ross, one of those, you know, big chain stores. Does that even make sense? You know, I mean, I would never let my child go to the bathroom. It's like, okay, everybody go to the bathroom before you leave home and done. But as long as we allow this to happen, I mean, don't go to these stores. Stop spending your money. They do understand green. And if you withdraw your consent, it stops. They can't make you go into these stores and shop. But if they want to play that game and be part of a system that's designed to impose its will on you, then you have the right, at least at this point, not to spend your money there, not to use their services. You know, as long as it's, if your silence is making you complicit with the problem, and you have to take responsibility for that as well.
When do you think this started?
That's a good question.
I think it started, I look at it like the old saying, the tail wagging the dog. I go back to when that, pardon me, the bitch in North Carolina, was able to get prayer taken out of schools. Why didn't our parents, my parents, stand up and say no? I was a kid, so, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you go back, why does one woman have a right to say, it's my belief that we shouldn't have prayers in schools, when 99.9% said, yes, we should, and yet she got her way?
It's a good question, but it's...
And that's when the tail started
the snowball started rolling. Well, it's all about removing God from the country. I don't care if you're talking about Buddhist, you know, Islam. I don't care. It's God. It's the movement away from spirituality, from a higher being, from something bigger than ourselves. It's all about us being... this movement about man being their own God, running their own show. There is no consequence. Whatever good is, and even the Pope said crap like this, which is, if you think you're good, then you're good. If you think what you're doing is right, then it's right. Well, let pedophiles think what they're doing is right. That means they all go to heaven, right? So it's this language. You have to really pay attention to the language. And every time, and question it, and not be afraid to say, I believe this. I'm standing up for what I believe. You cannot take away my right to believe what I want to. It's okay for them to say it, but not for you. That's the difference I'm finding. And it's making people cower. If you're not a racist, you know you're not. Someone calling you that shouldn't affect you.
But what the hell's a racist?
Everybody.
You can be a racist on a lot of, it doesn't even have to do with skin color, anything else. Yeah, you and I both are racist in our own way. Maybe you like Florida. Does that make, you like going to Florida and I like going to the East Coast. So are we racist because we vary in the beach that we want to go to?
You can't take away someone's right to feel some way. It's what they do that you, as long as you stay in your lane, don't try to encroach upon me. I don't care what you believe. Have at it. But don't try to take away my ability to be free and pursue what my God-given right is. That's what a libertarian mindset is. Do what you want as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else and it doesn't hurt society. But you can't make somebody, it's these social warriors, social whatever you want to call them, they want to change someone's behavior because they feel bad about themselves. Or somehow they feel empowered to subjugate somebody else. That is not progressive. That's not liberal. That is totalitarian. It's not the same. It's all this language. If you look at the average progressive, they want you to shut up, give up your rights, not follow the Constitution, live in an environment where you can't look left or right, just take what you're given and like it. That's totalitarian. It doesn't even make sense. And I can tell you, from the standpoint of the founders of the country, that's why the Second Amendment exists, so the government cannot impose its will on you. If they are successful in taking away or disarming of the country, we're gone as a country. But I don't think that's ever going to happen. Every time they talk about gun control, more people buy stuff. So the
what you're saying, I dare you to come try to
come and take it. That's what people are saying. So I think one of the politicians talked about AK. I'm sorry, I don't even know what the gun type is.
The AK-47?
I think it was AK-47. Yeah.
That's Russian.
Well, the stock went up on Ruger and all the other gun manufacturers, and the sales went through the roof. Every time, if they're trying to get people to not buy guns, every time they get on TV and say, we're going to get rid of it, people buy more. I can't even imagine how many guns are floating around the country right now.
And the people that are yelling at the loudest are the ones that have 4, 5, 6, 10, 12
sure, or bodyguards.
Guards.
Yeah. It's just hypocrisy.
It's this is on the subject and off the subject, but one of the liberals that I really can't stand, Elizabeth Warren, I wonder how many homeless people she has staying in her, $5.4 million house that she has.
Listen, she spouts off as she's like the embodiment of honesty and truth. This is the same person who, I think it was a thesis, it was plagiarized. The same person who claims she's Native American and the tribe that she was claiming said stop doing it, and she won't. This is intellectual dishonesty. Do what I say, but not what I do. I know it's best for you. And really what they're doing is cementing the power that they have, feeding their crony buddies, and making it impossible for you to get ahead in this society. All this, really, you have to take a look from the top down on this. All this, everybody should be in college, everybody should be educated. You're debt slaves is what they're making you. And these degrees don't mean a thing. They don't. I'd rather see people create their own space, become entrepreneurs, run your own show, and don't be somebody else's employee, which if you can, the growth of robots coming into the workforce, the takeover is astronomical. Even McDonald's are bringing them online. So where are these guys going to work? Let's take a break because I have to talk about something else that I read. It's just all over the news now. They want to actually pay people to do nothing. That's one of the goals that, or one of something that was laid out. why even exist if you don't even have a purpose anymore, right? On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. There was a law that was trying to be passed in Sweden where every Swedish citizen would get a yearly, I don't know if it's a monthly or a yearly, salary just for existing. You don't have to work. You don't have to do anything. Just breathe and you actually get paid. But, you know, when you really think about that, that's not a society that I'd want to live in. You have a bunch of sloths running around doing nothing. You know, what kind of existence is that? It's bad enough to be a debt slave, but imagine when your existence is controlled by the government. If they decide not to pay you that month, what do you do? And we're seeing that with the EBT cards here. There's been some glitches where they haven't worked. You know, they were declined. And these guys are just, one woman went nuts in a supermarket because hers wasn't working. Imagine, a third of the country is getting government assistance of some sort. 100 million people, right? If their assistance stopped for some reason, and it's all electronic because it's on some sort of card, what's going to happen to society if a third of the country is cut off from food? Whatever their sustenance is, it's a recipe for disaster.
Haven't we seen that in Greece?
Yeah, we have. And it hasn't been as violent as I thought it would be, but we're not Greece. You know, this is a whole different mindset here. And this mentality of you owe me, that to me has changed. The taking God out of education is one problem in society. The other is the mentality of someone is special. You owe me, you did it to me, you took it from me. I don't have any responsibility for my own choices, but so what? That's a bad mentality. If I want it, I'm going to take it. That's another bad mentality. And that's been, I think the younger set are indoctrinated with that. There's no, I'm going to save for something and earn it. I'm going to take it from somebody. And I'm going to use I'm a victim, the victimology to get it. You know, historically my group has been discriminated against, so you owe me. No, you don't. You know, I think that debt has been paid, frankly, and I'd rather live in this country than any other one in the world. And as long as you have a brain and ingenuity, you can make it here. That's the truth. I mean, if you look at all the people rapping, making millions of dollars for God knows what, that tells you something about our society. Right? So maybe we ought to stop coddling people and falling into the trap of, oh, I'm a bad person because this person says I am, and stand up for yourself. It's being bullied. And it's this language of, I'm the person, or I'm doing the thing that I say that you are. Right? So the people who are social warrior-ing are out there complaining about, you know, Trump supporters or Bernie supporters or whomever's out there committing crimes, imposing their will on people while they're claiming that they're the victim, but they're bullying people. That's really wrong. And we need to stand up and start saying that. Niceness is not working. It's considered to be weakness at this point. And I'm not saying go out and beat somebody up, but if someone calls you a name, say, I don't care what you say, walk away. They stop. It's when you try to justify their ridiculousness that they feel even more emboldened, and they continue the process. I don't play that game. I'm not a victim. I make my choices as an adult. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, but I will own up to them. And if they're bad, I'm going to figure out what I did wrong, not repeat it. If everybody would do something like along those lines, we'd have a much better society. And stop voting and thinking in terms of tribe mentality. Identity politics hurts you. If you're voting for people because they're black or a woman or they're gay or whatever it is, they don't care about you. They care about getting in. They don't represent you. They don't. They tell you they do. How many black people are in jail, and how, you know, as a group, as a whole, we've lost ground in the last 7 years. That's a problem. So we supposedly have someone who looks like us in the White House. It doesn't represent us. Hillary Clinton, her claim to fame is, it's my turn, and abortion. How does that affect, how does that help women? You know, her getting to be president, God forbid, will not make me feel better about myself as a woman. She doesn't know me. She doesn't represent me. I don't have the same lifestyle or history as she does, thank God. I mean, really, women's so tied to, I just want to see myself in the White House. That's the mentality. You're living through somebody else. You're letting somebody define you. Your worth is being defined by another person, not even related to you. They don't even know you. You people are like totally caught up in this win at all costs mentality. Your team needs to win. People rioting when their teams don't win. It's a game. I think politics is a game too, to tell you the truth. But you really have to just take a step back. And I personally, if it doesn't put food on my table, make me safer, make me, or not inhibit my relationship with God, I'm not interested in it. And with people actually, I think we're a little bit more in tuned with not what people say it is, but actuality. Follow the actions, not the words. Maybe the people would fall for less of this, you know, rhetoric that's out there.
Do you really think, you know, from what the Secret Service has said, do you really think that Hillary or the Clintons in general give a flying damn about anybody except themselves?
No,
They've treated the Secret Service like dirt.
Everybody that's close to
everybody.
Them.
Everybody.
Listen, one of the Saudi princes said that Saudi Arabia is responsible for 20% of her campaign war chest. It's illegal. Forget about conflict of interest. You have a foreign entity who is bankrolling your presidential bid. That's illegal. And they had the nerve to say it. And nobody says a thing about it. This is my problem. That whole Clinton Foundation is a slush fund. Influence peddling. If they ever, and apparently the Russians have the emails, if they ever let that all out, I can only imagine what kind of stuff is going to crawl out from the information that they got from that.
I'm wondering, I don't like the guy at all, but I'm wondering if, what's his name, Assange? The guy that did Leakopedia?
Yeah.
You know, he's come out that he has enough to get her indicted within minutes that he's going to release.
They should just do it.
Yeah.
Because the fact that she's is still in the race and moving towards becoming president is, it's an indictment of our entire system. I mean, you can be a criminal, I mean, just out and about, and you can still get money, stay in the race, and potentially be president. And once that happens, you can imagine all of the cleaning that's going to go on.
Oh.
And we'll never have a country again. And all of these, I just have a problem with foreign interests running the show. China runs the Hollywood at this point. You know, they've taken over most of the funding for all of these movie houses. So the movies are now showing up with, you know, pro-China messages. They are vetted before they're allowed to actually be made and released. They're being censored. And again, whoever controls the pocketbook has the power. I don't care what. That is a truth. No matter if you're talking about politics, medicine, I don't care what you're talking about. If you've got the money, you've got the power. You know, I would honestly rather see Donald Trump. I like the fact that he funded himself, but I'd like to see him at this point say, whoever is for me, here's a website you can just donate. Forget about all these backroom, shady, I don't appreciate that. Let us fund you if the person wants to do it. And that means you're beholden, really beholden to nobody except us, which it should be the case in the first place. So maybe, I mean, I'm not Democrat or Republican, I'm an independent, and I am pro-America. I want our country to succeed and exist. I do not want to be putting on any kind of headgear. I do not want to not be able to walk out of my house and not feel safe. I don't want that. And if that means we need to slow the process of people coming in, have a process where we can, and once people show up and they make it apparent that they're not for us, they need to be gone. Deport. Whatever you need to do, get them out of our society. Otherwise, you don't have one. You don't even have a country if you don't really have a border. I don't think anybody can argue that. It, you know, immigration is not a right. It's a privilege. You don't have the right to just go where I don't. We can't go to Mexico. We can't go to Canada. We can't go to any other country and just walk in, Australia, whatever, unless we're going to add something to their society and they know where we're coming from, who we are, have a health evaluation. They opened up the borders or opened up the immigration policy. So if you have a communicable disease now, HIV is an example, but any other communicable disease, it's on. You can just come on in. That wasn't the case. What, 5 years ago, 3 years ago? That's new. So it's like everything just flooding into the country to create absolute chaos, mayhem. And then they want the coup de grace, which is to disarm us, so that you're just sitting duck waiting for the police to help you. Even if they could, there's not enough of them to do it. They can't get there in time, even if it was possible or were possible. It's not feasible. Even the police in some of the states are saying, arm yourself because we can't get there to help you in time. Help us help you. And I'm all for that. You know, it's not the people who are getting the guns legally or doing these things. It's the people who are criminals that are doing it. You think disarming us is going to make it better? That doesn't even make sense.
You know, all of this stuff about disarming or stronger laws, we have plenty of laws. That guy, you know, any of the terrorists, they have a multitude of ways they can kill us. Be it a bomb, be it, you know, they don't need an AK-47. They don't need a AR-15. There's a multitude of ways, and it's been proven over and over again. IEDs, you know, that's going to be a thrill when they start showing up in the United States.
Yeah.
You're driving along 400, you're driving along 85 or 285, and an IED goes off, and don't think it can't happen.
Well, if they tell you that we're infiltrating the migrants coming in, this is our strategy to go in, come in amongst them. What kind of security person in charge of security says, let them come in more? Does that even make, they're telling you their strategy. I can see if you didn't know. I can see that. But they told you, and they're doing it. And you're like, let more. She must let in 500,000 people come in under her first year as president? That doesn't even... Is abortion more important to you than that? Is that the thing that you're voting for? Are you insane? Honestly. So, I mean, people need to get really... Think about your personal safety. Think about your family's personal safety. And honestly, that's probably the best thing, the nicest thing you can do for somebody who's in that position so they're not victimized and they're not used. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, initially at the start of the show, I talked about the health side of this. You know, we're talking about communicable diseases, obviously. TB was one. You've got scabies, you have pneumonia, you have all sorts of things. And I just want us to be a really level playing field where our citizens are protected. We are one of the most, I think, the most generous country in the world. And it's not like you don't want people to come in, but you do need them to come in an orderly fashion so you don't foment violence against them. You don't disrupt their mental status. I don't even, there's apparently an onslaught again of unaccompanied minors coming through. Children, where do they go? Who's taking care of them? If they're all housed in, and they're, I've read about military, as I said before, decommissioned military centers or bases. What are they all in? Barracks? I mean, who's taking care of a little kid who's three or four? Who's messing with a little kid who's three or four? What are these kids going to be like when they get to be teens and they're angry and they're disenfranchised? They're going to lash out. It's human nature and it's a psychological given. There's no psychiatrists in here. And where are they going to go? They're going to a school where your kids are there with them and your kids have and they may not. This is just not a recipe for a long-term benefit to anybody that I can see. And it's all politics. You've got the churches who are getting paid to bring them in. You've got the politicians who are banking on them being voters down the road. I mean, you have the social justice people who want to change our country to a socialist utopia, which doesn't exist. Ask Venezuela how that works, you know, where they're standing on line for bread, for baby formula. You know, it's a disaster, and they have oil. I have no idea how they got to that situation where they're living in like a road warrior situation. But that doesn't mean it can't come to us, and it doesn't mean that people who live that mindset, I think the average person thinks that if someone is living in a desperate situation, when they get into a situation where they're being helped, then everything's great. It may not be. You're not, they're bringing their desperation, their anger, their resentment with them. I've never heard of anything where people are getting psychological attention. It's just they're put in a situation where they're now here. Well, okay. They're here without their support system. They're here under duress. We don't know what they've, as I said before, and I'll say it again, what they went through in the process of getting here. And they're damaged. And we're not doing anything to help them except encourage more to come. And we're going to have a cohort of people who may never fit in and who may want to start preying on us. And what are we going to do when that happens? Generations down the road. Apparently, the people who emigrate are not the problem. The first generation is the problem. This guy who did the shooting in Orlando was a first generation. He was born here. His parents emigrated in. But he was radicalized. How many times does that get or amplified across the country? If you listen to people in Germany, that's exactly what's going on there. The kids who are in school hate the Germans, hate their society, would rather see them dead, and they're living the German, you know, good life, but they still hate them. You can't make someone love you, you know? They just see you as weak and to be a thing to be removed so they can take it over. That's a problem, you know? People need to wake up. It's not about being politically correct anymore or being tolerant. It's about protecting all of us, including the people who need our help. And I think that you would have a much better system if they actually knew there's a process that I'm going to have to go through. I'm not going to be able to just walk across. Someone's going to actually make sure that I'm healthy, make sure that I have, I mean, a situation where I'm coming into real family members, if there are here, that I have a safe place to stay, and I have a future. There's no future in someone in a barrack, you know, a child left alone in a barrack to do at the, you know, tender mercies of whoever is taking care of them. Or forget about the people who are running it. What about the people with them? Other children, older children, praying on. Just the thought of this is just, it makes you cringe, knowing human nature and what can happen in a desperate situation. It's a war zone that you've imported into your own country, and you've created conditions because you want to win, because you want to game the system and rig the system so that eventually you'll always get the answer or the outcome that you want. It's not going to work that way.
Was Ellis Island so bad?
Not from what I've read. You know, the people who were ill, they were quarantined. Those that had diseases that were really not compatible with ever recovering, they were sent back to their country. There was an orderly movement, and there was areas that people could go. It's just different. Yes, there were less people probably coming through overall. You know, it's like a trickle effect, basically, compared to this, where it's just every man for himself. And you've got people making money off of this. That's the sick part. There's somebody preying on somebody for a buck with the overall veneer of, I want to help people, I love people. No, they don't. They want to make money.
Well, this is what's happening. A lot of contract, for lack of better words, prisons are in Texas or in the border states that are owned by private corporations, and you can imagine how much money's going under the table.
Oh, yeah.
But you send us your people that ICE or whoever the Border Patrol has picked up, and they're like you said, you got people that are making money off of it. You got the immigrants, the undocumented, that are sitting there developing a hate for us that'll be for generations. But it all comes back to your famous term or infamous term is follow the money.
Yeah.
That's the same. That's in everything.
It is. And, you know, ethics be damned, morals be damned. And they have the nerve to actually use the narrative of we're doing it because we are humanitarian, want to help people. And if you have a question about it, you're bad. And it's using, again, language against people. If you know that you're not against this because you just want to keep the country, you know, homogeneous, then that's you. But most people actually just want to make sure that they're safe and that the people coming in are coming, you know who's coming into the country. You already know that there's a pipeline in. You already know that people are using it to bring in people who are trying to hurt us. And you're just like, open it wider. Don't ask any questions. And the people who are asking questions, they're homegrown terrorists, and they're racist. And that doesn't even make sense. I would be really pissed off at my government for putting me and my family, my friends, at risk of disease, of being hurt, of ending up in a club where I should have all the rights to come out better than I went in. Why somebody stands down, the government standing down and letting things happen. Why would it take 3 hours for a SWAT team to go into a situation? Isn't that a very long time?
In Orlando?
Yeah. 3 hours. I thought that was a little long, personally.
You know, I hadn't heard that it was 3 hours, but can't answer you.
Okay.
I can't answer you. You know, you took me off guard on that. That one I hadn't heard at all. At least they acted when they acted.
It did. But how many people unnecessarily were killed in the process? That's well, my question.
You know, you brought up a point earlier off mic about for all the shots that were fired, that's a lot of reloading for anybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, I keep asking, if I'm in the same situation, hopefully there'll be somebody there with a pistol. It takes time to, I mean, is no matter how good you are to put one magazine, drop a magazine and put another magazine in, it takes long enough that somebody that was carrying could take get close enough to take them down.
True.
Or at least scare the hell out of them.
Or tackle them. Or something. I mean, it's, we weren't there, we don't know. Ultimately, I would rather not see anybody be in a position where they can't protect or defend themselves. And that means hand or having a being armed legally. I have a problem with that. But to make the whole country just lemmings, just take it, just stand down. And if you really do want to help yourself or defend yourself, then you're wrong. I just have a problem with that. And, you know, this person, I guess he worked for a company where he wasn't doing a good job, and the people who were that the coworker complained to didn't do anything. And they said it's because, well, he's Muslim, we don't want to create a stir. And so the guy ended up quitting. That's political. That's how political correctness gets you into trouble. You know, it's not about being, you know, decent and treating people like you want to be treated. That's appropriate. But it's when you have to sublimate or subjugate yourself to make somebody else feel better, when you're not the problem, when you're not racist, you're not sexist, you just want to stand up for your own rights. There's nothing wrong with that. People need to just take your power back, folks. There's nothing wrong with that. That's probably the moral of the show today. And if you have a question and you don't feel safe or comfortable, then you need to remove yourself from the situation. If that means taking your child out of school and homeschooling them, so be it. If that means going and getting armed legally, then so be it. But don't stand around and be victimized. On that note, thank you for listening to Medicine on Call. Have a great week.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.